So welcome to my talk. My name is Andreas Schneider. I'm talking about file synchronization today, and especially about roaming home directories. That's the work I've done at SUSE Linux the last 2 years, or 2.5 years. And now I want to present how to use them and how you can set it up in your environment. So, first an overview. I will talk about the terminology and the concept about it. Then I will talk about roaming home directories, how it is integrated with PAM, and some plans about the future, what users have requested and some developers have asked for. So, does someone not know what roaming profiles under Windows are? No? Okay. So you know what roaming profiles are. You have a workstation and a server, and if you log in, then your profile gets synchronized, and if you log out, your profile gets synchronized again. Roaming home directory is more or less the same, just that you have a Linux machine with your home directory, and you have, for example, a Windows server where you have space where you can synchronize your files to. And if I talk about roaming home directories, then this means I don't talk about profiles. So this is only about synchronizing files. On roaming profiles, normally you synchronize the user profile, so the files and the registry and stuff like that. And here, only files are synchronized. Only the files who are in your home directories. There is no merging of content of files or anything like that. Maybe not yet. So I've seen a project which is which was done in the Google Summer of Code project for OpenSUSE last year, and someone created a tool where you synchronize your Firefox profile with the Linux and the Windows Firefox profile. And maybe it would be possible in the future that you are able to do that, but not at the moment. So let's just make some words clear I'm using or I will talk about. So I will use the term replica. So a replica is a tree or subtree of a file system. For example, your home directory which you want to synchronize. This could be a local or remote file tree or you can synchronize to local replicas too. And changes are often made to both independently, and as a result, they do not contain the same information. For example, if you are working on a workstation and a notebook, and you work on the workstation for one day and the other day on the notebook, and you want to synchronize your data, then normally they are different because you updated some files, and so you have to synchronize them. So then, what is a conflict? Let's define that a pass is conflicting if it fulfills some conditions. One, A, it has been updated on one replica. Two, it or the pass or any of his descendants has been updated on the other replica too. So for example, you have updated the file local, and the file has been updated on the server because you have worked on another workstation. And then the contents are not identical, and then you have a conflict. And file synchronization is nothing else about resolving conflicts. So let's look on the concept, how you achieve your goal. So what do you need? What you need is a file synchronizer which works in both directions. For example, if you are using rsync, rsync is a one-way file synchronizer. And what we need here is a two-way file synchronizer which is working with metadata. This means everything you can get out of a stat call. It has to work with a metadata status database. This means that all the metadata you already collected through a synchronization is stored in a database, and if you synchronize again, that you can compare the files with a file with a database and check if it has changed during since the last synchronization. And what we want here for roaming home directories, we want a client-only application so that you don't need a specific daemon, because we are here using protocols which are already implemented, and here it is SMB protocol to talk to a Windows server. So what do we currently have? There is a file synchronizer called CSync. It is a library and a command line tool. And normally, if you do file synchronization, then a bidirectional file synchronization, then it is done in three steps. The first step is to collect and check metadata. So that means that you walk the file tree, for example, your home directory, and compare every file with the same data in the database. In the next step, you compare the metadata. This means you are walking over your local replica and the remote replica. And after this is done, then you compare the data from the remote and the local replica and check which file has to be synchronized in which direction. So do I have to copy it to the other replica? Do I have to delete it? Or do I have to simply do nothing? And then the last step is called propagation. There you just simply copy the files. It would be possible to do it in two steps, but normally you want three steps, cause so that you can, after the reconciliation, talk to the user. And if you have a GUI application, then you can talk to the user, that the user can do changes, and then you copy the files after the user has modified the instructions for the file synchronizer. So just about a little bit more details how it is working, how we detect the update. We just look at a file, retrieve the stat command, and then if we have a database, we just look at the database. If we find an entry for this file, if there is no entry, then we have a new file. If your file has a new modification time, that what is stored in the database and the file has changed, if it is equal, then you have no changes, but it might be updated on the other replica. So this is just, you just set flags for the next step. So in the next step, normally you compare what has changed and try to detect conflicts. And to detect conflicts, normally you have an algorithm. And if you don't have a user interface, then you have to do conflict resolution without asking the user. And to do that, there is a simple algorithm called the merge algorithm. This is the same algorithm as Microsoft uses in roaming profiles to synchronize files. It doesn't need any user interaction. And simply, if it detects a conflict, then it says the most recent file wins and will be synchronized with the other replica. This means that it is possible that some data will be lost because you overwrite a file. But normally, you want the newest file or the file which has updated recently. And so we want to do it the same way as Microsoft said, that the user gets what he expects already in the Microsoft environment, that he gets the same in the Linux environment. In the future, there will be more possibilities to talk to the user and GUI applications that he can decide what to do. So currently, this file synchronizer supports two protocols. One is SMB, using Samba's libSMB client to talk to Windows Server, to a Samba server. And I'm currently working on libSSH to implement SFTP support. There is currently some basic SFTP support in the current version, but I've already improved it, and soon there will be a new version of CSync as soon as I have released libssh, and then you can use SFTP, for example, if you want to synchronize on just on Linux file systems. These are just some notes for developers if you are interested. What is used, which databases, and how it works. So let's look at the file synchronizer. Currently, there is a command line client. If you want to manually sync something, you can sync a local directory with a remote directory, or just two local directories. I have here an example. Normally, I do testing CSync with a kernel source tree because it has a lot of files, so you do a lot of operations, and you can see. So I think that's maybe what a normal user, the amount of files will maybe what a normal user will have in his home directory. If you are a developer, you have far more files, but I think this is a more or less realistic test case of the amount of files. And yeah, you simply it has some options just to do testing. If you enable some logging output, then you can look at it, how it works, and which files will be synchronized or overwritten, though you can check it. So, for example, there's just a dry run or a test update detection, and you can disable the database for testing, or if you want just to synchronize some directories and you don't want to have any record of them because you do it only once, then you can disable the database, which will also speed up things a little bit more, but you will not recognize it. So let's just run it to see what it does. It just flushed the caches that we have a realistic test case. And if I run it, I have enabled some information output, and there you can see that currently it doesn't have an exclude list. There is no database, so it will be created with a name. This is just a warning, you can ignore it. Enabled our Unix file system synchronization, that we synchronize files with special characters. Then it starts to run the update detection, which took 9 seconds to scan the whole directory of the Linux source tree, which are 28,000 files. So it walked over the whole tree, received all information, and stored it in the memory. So you can see it here that it needs around 27 megabytes. And then it starts a reconciliation, and it has finished in less than a second, so that's really fast. And then currently it's copying all the files from one directory to the other. So the local directory or the local part has a Linux kernel source tree, and the remote tree is just an empty directory. So this is a netbook, so it is really slow. And I think it takes about, normally it takes about, I think, 90 seconds on the workstation to synchronize it. It's possible that it takes a little bit longer here. And we can simply stop it. And just look at the remote part, and then you can see that there are no files. That's strange. Yeah, but it finds Yeah, that's it uses a SQLite database, but if it starts and it doesn't find one, then you get a version mismatch. It's just a warning because it checks the version at the beginning, and if it if the file is empty, then the version for check fails. So now it is there. Strange. Yeah. Okay. For whatever reason, now you can see it. And if I would delete one directory, then it would be deleted on the other side too. And it is possible to, for example, to use a protocol and then it would use SCS FTP protocol to synchronize, and just runs currently the update detection in the local repository. This is really fast because everything is in memory. And now it runs it with SFTP and took some more seconds, and it found 9,000 files in this directory. And so this is simply a file synchronizer, bidirectional file synchronizer, but it isn't still nothing which you can call roaming home directories. And for this, if you want a roaming home directory, then normally you want, if you log in, that your files are synchronized from the server to the local replica, and if you log out, that it is synced back. And to do this during authentication in Linux, normally you do it in the PAM stack. And if you look at the PAM, then it has different management groups for plugins you can load. And there is authentication management, password management, account management, and session management. And I've implemented the PAM module, which implements function for authentication management. This means to receive the password if you enter it at a login. And session management here is that you, normally it is, the idea was, for example, to create a home directory, and here we call the synchronization process on login and logout. And for this, I have written a module called PAM CSync, which uses a library from CSync. During authentication, yeah, it gets the password and passes it to the session management to synchronize the files. And setting up this module is really easy. You have to change the PAM files. So what? So in authentication, you simply add the PAM CSync module. Here we output some debug information, and we try the first password we get. And the same is simply for the session part. If you, for example, use a distribution like OpenSUSE or SUSE Linux Enterprise, then there is a tool called pamconfig, which sets all the stuff up for you. If you don't have such a tool, then there is a man page called pamcsync, which shows you what you have to add. And it has sections for special setups. For example, if you use LDAP, or if you use WinBind. Normally, if you are in an Active Directory environment, then you want to use WinBind. It has also some, PAM CSync has also a feature for PAM WinBind. if you look at the configuration file, which is normally in etc security, there is a file called pam csync conf. There you can see that you can set the URI to winbind, then it gets, so if you create a user, you can specify a profile where the roaming profile should be stored. Pam retrieves this pass and exports it in the Pam stack. And if you set it here to winbind, then this directory will be used. So if you set on each client this variable, then you can configure on the Windows server which directory is used and will set it. Or if you are using a Samba server and has a special setup like I'm having here, then you can say SMB, this will be expanded as a user. I want to use the password. You don't need the password, for example, if you have Kerberos running. Then Pam Csync will look up the Kerberos ticket, sets it so that Csync can use it with libSMB client. And then you, here you set the host name, this is the share, and the pass is just the username which will be expanded. And it is possible to exclude users, so root and my account are excluded here. And if I now log in as the user Csync, then you can see a lot of debug information. So it expands the SMB user to Csync. The password isn't there, isn't in there. You can see that the username is expanded. We don't we want to use Kerberos, but there is no Kerberos ticket set. So this is Csync SMB. It wants to try Kerberos, but we don't have Kerberos. And then here you can see that Pam Csync is executed. It's running up to detection, reconciliation, and propagation. And it has finished, so we have a Pam success. And if I create here a directory and a file, and log out again, then it's running the same again. It's running under update detection, reconciliation, and propagation. If I now look at the directory, then you can see, so this is this is the exported Samba share, which is called Roam for roaming home directories. And this is on my local machine. And if I look now here, then you can see that the directory I've created as a user when I was logged in has been synchronized here to this local pass, which would be a server. And yeah, with that, you have roaming home directories for Linux machines. There are some problems. One is that if you have a lot of files and you have to synchronize a lot of stuff, then for the user it looks like that the login hangs because we are doing this in PAM, and there is no real possibility to present the users that we are currently working on the file system or creating some things and give him an update. So one of the nice things would be that you have, for example, that you can send something to Pam, which sets you a text, and maybe you can feed a progress bar that you can show, currently we are synchronizing files, and this is the state, so we have 50% done or something like that, but that's not possible. So if you log in or log out and the synchronization process took several minutes, then it looks like that the session would hang, but it doesn't. And that's a problem of PAM. Another idea is to have an applet later where you can say, please synchronize, for example, if the screen is locked or if every 20 minutes, those that on logout, you don't have to synchronize a huge amount of files and it is much faster. So what I already said, it has PAM Winbind support, so the profile directory you can set on the Windows server is exported from PAM Winbind. We can use it. It uses Kerberos ticket. I would like to show it, but I don't have here a machine with virtualization, but it works with Kerberos support too, and you can exclude users if you have local users, for example, that they don't that the synchronization isn't called for these users. So let's look what's planned for the futures. There is already someone who asked for GUI support, so that CSync supports several functions that you can write a GUI application for it. And what's needed is a conflict algorithm. That's no problem to write one. And I've already have it in the somewhere in the source commented out. And I've started to clean up the functions. And all I have to do is to write some callbacks so that the GUI application can display the conflicts and the user can modify them. And after set that, the files are simply copied with the changes of the user, so that you don't lose any data or that you can stop a file being synchronized. I want to support more protocols in future. Someone asked if it would be possible to synchronize with WebDAV, and I have to look at it. Maybe it is possible with SlipNeon. Maybe someone knows more about it, then I would be happy for some input. And I have to look at the rsync daemon. Maybe I could write a plugin to talk to the rsync daemon. And some colleagues asked if it would be possible that you can define your own file copy process, or that you can replace the file copy process with a merge process, that you have plugins, for example, for special file types, that you can merge the content. And this was often asked for users who want to merge mboxes. For this, I think I have to write my own daemon so that the MIME type will be provided to CSync. Yeah. That's it. Any questions? Yeah.
So going back to your initial definition of a conflict, sort of you had this intriguing phrase, things are in conflict if the changes are not equal. But you don't actually have a way of checking for equality unless you actually download the whole file, correct?
Sorry?
You cannot check for equality unless you download the file.
Yes. So I'm just looking at the modification time.
Okay, so you might strike that thing because there are things that trying to basically compute checksums to find out whether they're really equal and then avoid copying the file, but you haven't done anything in that direction.
No, so okay. I'm using libsmb client, and in libsmb client there is no.
Okay, so then the other interesting question in this kind of a system is, you, as you mentioned, sort of Windows implements last rider wins. It's not a merge, it's called a last rider win. But how do you deal with deletes? Deletes or changes in the directory hierarchy. Let's say you have a subdirectory A, B, C, and now you switch sort of C and B on one machine. How do you actually sync that change onto a second machine? Have you thought that through?
So it will, if you mean that you renamed the two directories?
On one machine, you have a hierarchy set of that's A, B, C, just in a sequence.
You have like B is a subdirectory of E and C is a subdirectory of B. And then on another machine, you basically start going and switching that around. So now suddenly C is a subdirectory of A and then B is on C.
Okay.
So what happens when you start syncing that?
Yeah, if you will sync it, then it will look up it in the database, will not find it, and then will be deleted and synchronize it again. So there is no possibility to see that you have simply switched them or renamed them, so it will be seen as a delete and a new file.
So a lot of data that's already there will be sent, despite the fact there is no
Yeah, there is a problem to really detect renaming of files, especially in Linux file systems, because if you rename the on Windows, if you rename a file, then the modification time of the file is changed. And on Linux, if you rename a file, then the modification time of the directory is changed. So you need the database to really detect the rename. And so a rename is always a delete and a new copy.
And for deletes, you just delete things without asking.
I don't just yeah. Somewhere.
So currently, there is no possibility in PAM really to ask the user if he really wants to delete a file. And if he deletes, if you would ask him, then he would get and implement it with, there is some kind of a special pop-up, but I think it doesn't really work. It doesn't work very well. So he would get a pop-up for every file and have to say yes, 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 yes. But it would be possible, so it will be possible that if there is a conflict algorithm and you have a GUI application, then the user can review every change with what the file synchronizer is doing and can change the transaction.
I have another question. Do you have had a look at Unison before, or can you explain the difference between CSync and Unison?
Yeah, I've looked at Unison, so I have invested some time in StrayStid because I don't understand OCaml. Unison is written in OCaml, and it requires to have Unison on both machines installed, so it is a client-server application. And here it was a plan that you have client-only application and you use what is already there, which is libSMB client. And I don't know. So Unison can use the rsync protocol and work with checksums, but there is a mode that it's more or less acts like CSync, and I have traced, for example, the update detection, and I don't know what they are doing, but they are really slow at that. And it needs to scan the whole Linux tree, it needs about 60 seconds, and here with CSync you can do it in 8 seconds. But it has a GUI, so conflicts are displayed to the user, and that's what will be in future, what you can do in future with CSync 2. Yeah.
Did you invest more in resolving naming problems, especially from users using macOS? We tried a lot in using Unison and rsync and stranded because Mac users and even Mac software names files in very strange ways, which Samba itself has no problems with it, and it seems Windows neither, but Unison cannot synchronize that, and even rsync isn't able to do that.
What do you mean with strange names?
Double points in the name is one of these specialties.
Yeah. So CSync has a exclude. So I'm doing it. I check if you have Unix extensions on both file systems. I create a file with, for example, a cologne in it, and if it fails, then I disable the Unix extensions, and then those files are simply don't get synchronized, because you can't synchronize them. So I don't know why they use colognes in directory names, but yeah. I would say this should be a bug, in the applications, and they should replace it with another character.
But it means the user end with
a microphone, please.
that means those user end with the whole three segments that are not synchronized.
Yeah, but normally there are not really much directories with clones. Yeah, but you can.
Oh, really?
Maybe it would be possible to synchronize them that you add so special files to a database, and that you have some kind of a mapping, and use some special characters, for example, 3 underscores, which is a cologne, and yeah, that you look up the names in the database. It would be possible, but the question is, makes it sense to synchronize those files, or better report the bug against the application? Yeah, it would be possible to implement this.
We talked about the directory hierarchy, but you didn't actually answer the question about the delete. So how do you deal with tombstones?
Sorry?
How do you deal with tombstones?
Tombstones. Tombstones?
Well, so you have a directory, you delete it on one machine, you sync, so it deletes on the server. What do you do when the second machine sees it? Are you going to just update the just deleted files, or are you going to delete them on the client? How do you deal with that?
I didn't get it completely. You have a file on.
You have a file on a machine. You have basically files on a machine. You delete it on one machine. So the deletion, then you sync.
Yeah.
And then you delete it on the server.
Yeah.
And then how do you make sure that the other guy that still has that file doesn't just update the server and uploads a file again? So you need to keep some tombstones around to remember the deletion.
Yeah, there you have the database.
Okay, so you keep tombstones in the database.
Yeah.
And then how do you clean out that database? Basically, what's your tombstone management?
Yeah, what you have in the database is the state of the last synchronization. This means if...
Well, think about the case where you have many clients, right? You might have like a large number of clients, and you really need to manage your tombstones in some coordinated way.
So you have the server, and you have here a file A, and you have here the file A, and you delete it here. So you have here A and here A. When I delete it here, then it gets deleted on the server. Now I log in from this machine, and it still has the file. Though I'm walking this directory, check this file with the database, it says nothing has changed. Then I'm walking on the server directory, and I don't come to this file, so this file is simple. So it hasn't changed here, and here it isn't. And if I compare this file which doesn't exist, then I'm sure it has been deleted.
Well, how do you know it? How do you know it was ever there? How do you know like this is not a new file?
Because I have a database entry. If I have a database entry and I don't find it on one of the replicas, then it has been deleted.
Okay.
I'm sorry, but we need to set up for the next speaker. But there's always the possibility to talk about it later in the coffee breaks or at the party. So thank you very much for your talk.